transfigured on the Mount, O Christ our God, revealing thy glory to thy disciples as far as they could bear it. Let thine everlasting light shine upon us sinners, through the prayers of the Theotokos, O giver of light, glory to thee.
Hi there. Welcome back to what is the series finale episode, session 33 of our live stream Bible study on the Book of Romans, inspired by the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. My name is Father Athanasios Heros. I am the Dean of the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida, and I'm your host for Be Transfigured Ministries. So we've come a long way. It's been almost a two-year project, and this, by the time we finish, will be 33 hours, give or take, some weeks a few minutes less, some weeks a few minutes more, but basically 33 hours of Bible study on the Book of Romans. So if you are new to our Bible study, welcome. You finally made it. Tonight is our last session. But that's okay, because all of the sessions are still available on my website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org, which is the website for Be Transfigured Ministries. Before we begin with tonight's final session, I want to thank the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral for cooperating with us and allowing us to live stream during Bible study. Most of our sessions were live downtown in Tarpon Springs with actual people in the room. However, because of the health crisis affecting our society and us being forced into quarantine, our Bible study moved in a different phase, still live on the internet, but now it's just me and the camera. Except, don't get so excited over there. Normally, it's me, the camera, and a bunch of people in one room. And now that I'm doing it from my home, we also have the blessing of joining with us, although off camera, Presbytera Vasi, my wife, who is our chat room moderator. And let me just tell you, she is the most talented, most amazing, highly qualified chat room moderator that this Bible study has ever had. So we're very thankful for her. If you are watching tonight's Bible study, not on YouTube, it might be on my website or maybe on the St. Nicholas Tarpon app. The only way you can participate in the live chat is by actually watching on YouTube. So if you're not watching on YouTube, there's a little button right there on your screen. Click watch on YouTube and you'll be able to participate in the live chat. Whether your phone or your computer, either way, but it has to be on YouTube. So let me tell you our final thoughts here tonight is that our Bible study, being inspired by St. John Chrysostom, is going to take a beautiful ending this evening. I have mentioned many times before just how much love that St. John Chrysostom had for St. Paul, who, of course, is the author of the Book of Romans. And we were going to spend some time hearing just how much St. John Chrysostom loved St. Paul as we close out tonight's Bible study. So if you have not yet downloaded your study guide, there is a study guide free available on my website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org. Press the Bible study on Romans button, scroll all the way down to tonight's session, and you will see a link for the study guide as well as a link for the video. Of course, you're already watching it on the video, so you don't need that link right now. However, you'll notice there is a link to every one of the past sessions. So if you've missed something and you want to get caught up, they're all right there for you to watch. Now, having said that, the Book of Romans, as we taught way back when, 2 years ago, on session 1, is read daily in the church following Pentecost. And this coming Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. So what beautiful timing that we are finishing our Bible study tonight and then beginning next week, if you are so inspired, you'll be able to watch the Bible study that almost directly 1,600 years later still correlates to the readings of the day. And so that might be something that interests you in the next month, to spend the month of June learning about the book of Romans in the context of seeing it on a daily basis and reading the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. Our homily translation has been coming from Father Panayotis Papagiorgiou, who is the priest in Marietta, Georgia, at the Church of the Holy Transfiguration of Our Lord. And that translation is not in print currently. And so on the study guide, I have offered you a link to a free translation. It's not the same translation that we are using, but it is a good translation. And all the homilies are there. In fact, you'll see on that particular website that they have hundreds of homilies of St. John Chrysostom. And so when you finish with the homilies and the Bible study on the book of Romans, you can go back to our previous project, which was the Bible study on Acts, which was 55 hours of Bible study on the book of Acts with the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. We love St. John Chrysostom around here. He really makes a big influence in our ministry. Okay, so without further ado, who do we have with us tonight?
Tonight we have Cindy Vasiliki, my mother, and Denise.
Your mother, does that mean that's my mother-in-law?
Your favorite.
My favorite mother-in-law is joining us live from Ohio tonight. So it's good to have her on the computer. So without further ado, let us say our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shine within our hearts, loving Master, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our minds that we may comprehend the message of your gospel. Instill in us also reverence for your blessed commandments, so that having conquered sinful desires, we may pursue a spiritual life, thinking and doing all those things which are pleasing to you. For you, Christ, our God, at the light of our souls and bodies, and you we give glory, together with your Father, who is without beginning, and your all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, always, now, and forever, and to the ages of ages.
Amen.
Okay. So, tonight, session 33, homily 32, and it covers the book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 17 through 24. Now, you might be asking, well, what about verses 25 and 26 and 27? You may have forgotten that we covered that several weeks ago, and it was covered in, I believe, here it is right here. Where are we? Oh, it was further back than I thought. It was 5 or 6 weeks ago, and that reminds us that St. John Chrysostom's version of the book of Romans ended here at verse 24. 25, 26, and 27 in St. John Chrysostom's Bible are at the end of chapter 14, which was 5 or 6 weeks ago in our Bible study series. Okay, so verses 17 through 20, let me go ahead and read the first section here, and then we'll see what wisdom St. John Chrysostom has to offer us. Okay? Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Okay, so let's see what is offered here. Thank you very much, Denise. It was session 28, I can see in the chat room. So that was just a few weeks ago. So let's see what Chrysostom has to offer. First point here, St. Paul gently offers one final exhortation to the people. Remember, last week we talked about all of these greetings he sent. And so he says, you know what, before we go, I have one final thing to say. Listen to what Chrysostom mentions here. He says it so beautifully. He does not speak in a matter of a counselor, but he does this in the fashion of a servant, and his words show great respect. He addresses them as brothers and speaks as a suppliant, right? Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, however you want to translate that word, right? And so there's this closeness. He's kind of one final opportunity to inspire them. Next here, there were some who were leading people astray. Listen to what Chrysostom says here. That is, to be ever so careful in keeping up their guard and in learning thoroughly and examining closely. Be on the watch for whom? Tell me that. For those who cause dissensions and scandals contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Right? Division will destroy the church. That's our next point. Listen to Chrysostom. To be torn by dissensions is especially what overturns the church. This is a weapon of the devil. This turns everything topsy-turvy. For as long as the body is firmly united, the devil has no power to force an entrance. But the stumbling block comes from division. And from where does the division come? From opinions contrary to the doctrine of the apostles. Right? So we've mentioned that before too in our Bible study, in the sense of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Right? So all of our teachings are always in keeping with the teachings of the holy apostles. And so for those who are contrary to that, that is leading people astray. And again, this is St. Paul, and this was the church, and there were people leading them astray, right? So this is something that is not a new phenomenon, unfortunately, in the church. We must turn away from those who work to divide us. Next point, listen to Chrysostom. Turn away from them, for if they are doing what they do from ignorance or error, they need correction. But since they are doing wrong with full knowledge, leap out of their path. And I think that's an important distinction St. Paul and St. John Chrysostom are making here, right? If people are teaching the wrong thing out of ignorance or out of pure error, then they should be corrected. And if they love God and if they love the church, they'll be willing to be corrected, right? Okay, but there are those who are intentionally leading people away because they have a different doctrine and a different teaching. Those are the people that we have to be the most careful of, because they are intentionally leading people away from the church. So here's an interesting connection here. Remember, St. Paul talks about fasting quite a bit in this particular book here. And so it's no coincidence that there's this connection to gluttony. Both St. Paul and the prophets blame gluttony as the problem. So listen to what Chrysostom says here. Again, when he is ridiculing those who exhibit such boldness, he gives the reason why they have caused this dissension. For he says, "For such men do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites." And he said this also in the letter to the Philippians. Their God is their belly. Here I think Paul is hinting at the Jews, because it is his constant practice to accuse them of being gluttons. Indeed, in his letter to Titus, he said that they were evil beasts and lazy gluttons. And Christ accuses them of this when he said, "You devour the houses of widows." The prophets, too, make these same accusations. "My beloved Israel grew fat and kicked, became thick and broad." So, in this something again, is really right in line with St. John Chrysostom. Gluttony, of course, there's not just the food aspect of gluttony, right? But that constant craving, that constant desire for more, whether it's food, whether it's wealth, whether it's power, being a glutton for power is just as much of a problem here as being a glutton for food, right? Obviously, there's a bunch of fasting situations in Romans, so some of that is hinted there as well. But their own appetites is this reference that they're wanting and they're wanting and they're wanting and they want to they want to fill their own bellies, so to speak, okay? The deceivers are using flattery to gain the people's trust. Listen to what Chrysostom says here, and then I have a footnote to share with you. For Paul says, by smooth words they deceive the hearts of the simple. And he did well to speak of smooth words, for their attention reaches only the words they speak, only to the words they speak. But their intention goes much deeper, because it is filled with deceit. Did I use the wrong word there? Let me say it again. For their attention reaches only to the words they speak, but their intention goes much deeper, because it is filled with deceit. There's that understanding of intention, right? The intent is the problem here. Not always the mistake, but it is the intent to deceive. And so they're using flattery. So I have a footnote here down at the bottom. Defense against flattery is humility, which is constantly invoked by St. Paul. The refusal of compliments will increase chances to avoid the lure of flattery. Think about that for a minute. One of the things that I like to do in my ministry is I like to remind people of the ministry of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, Jesus himself referred to St. John as the greatest man ever to be born of a woman. And what happens, what's the example of St. John the Baptist? As soon as Christ came, St. John deflected all attention to Christ, right? He says, he's the one I've been telling you about. Now go follow him, and he disappears. In this idea of deflecting all praise, Chrysostom has said this too. Send all glory, send all praise to God. If we get in the habit of deflecting praise, like, oh, congratulations, oh, this, that, it'll be much more difficult for people to use flattery against us, right? And it's part of a spiritual discipline, humility, not in the sense of, oh, woe is me, but in that true sense of everything good is from God. And so if we get in the habit of deflecting all praise toward God instead of accepting any credit for ourselves, then the chances are much less that someone will be able to use flattery against us. In this case, St. Paul says they were using flattery against the simple people, not simple in a derogatory sense, but they were not the highly educated people, so they weren't necessarily aware of what to look out for. Okay? Next point here. St. Paul believed that the Romans, and therefore us too, could rid themselves of evil. Listen to what he says here. Chrysostom. For the God who rejoices in peace will destroy whatever destroys that peace. And not only those who put to work these destructive forces, but also Satan, their commander in chief, right? So God is on our side here, right? God is the God of peace. What an appropriate connection to what is horribly going on in our society right now, the riots and the racism and the hatred. We're losing peace, but we can become people of peace, working with each other and talking to each other and loving each other, right? And God will always help us root out that evil because the evil is out against the peace. Okay? All right. Final point in this section. Prayer and works go together. This is referencing the very end of this section here. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. There you have the strongest of weapons, an impregnable wall, an unshakable tower. For Paul has reminded them of grace so that he may make them more ready and willing. For if you have been set free from far greater difficulties and set free by grace alone, all the more will you be set free from lesser ills, since you have become friends of God and have contributed your fair share. See how Paul does not talk about prayer apart from works, or about works apart from prayer. After testifying to their obedience, Paul then offered up a prayer in their behalf to show that we need both, namely, what we do on our own part and what God does on his part, if we're going to be perfectly saved. I love that expression, if we're going to be perfectly saved. Prayer and works. And so, it isn't just enough for us to pray. It isn't just enough to go do. We must have those two things combined. Okay, let us close out chapter 16 here, and then we're going to move on to a special feature tonight. Verses 21 through 24. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, so let's see these last few points here. More greetings reveal great piety and virtue, right? So St. Paul, he did this entire thing at the beginning of chapter 16. Then he gives one final teaching and then one final glory that he offers these great greetings. Listen to what Chrysostom says here. For Paul does not mention his relatives without further comment unless they were like himself in the matter of piety. And this was no slight encomium, namely to be Paul's secretary. Do you see the sort of crown Paul has woven for his host by testifying to his great hospitality and for gathering the whole church into his house? Paul calls him a host here because he received guests. However, when you hear that he was Paul's host, do not praise him only for his hospitality, but also for his life of perfection. That actually is different parts of paragraphs 14, 15, and 16 in the homily. That's not one long thought for St. John Chrysostom. I'm just grabbing snippets here for you. As is the case with all of these homilies, we could literally just all of these words, but I'm just pulling out little snippets for you so you can see some of the wisdom in St. John Chrysostom. I highly encourage you to go back and read them sometimes over and over again to get the full appreciation for what Chrysostom is sharing with us here. Listen to this. This is about Erastus. Even city officials became believers. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus also send you greetings. Paul did not say the city treasurer without a reason. When he wrote to the Philippians, he said, those of Caesar's household send you greetings. And he did this to point out that preaching the message has gotten a hold of important people. So too in this verse, he mentions the work of Erastus to prove the same thing. He is also showing that neither riches nor cares of state nor any other such thing prove to be a hindrance for the man who heeds the message. That's the important part right there, for the man who heeds the message. And so even very important people in the ancient church were receptive of the gospel message. And I think this is an important thing because sometimes people tend to think that the early Christians were all basically just those who were on the outskirts, those who were marginalized. However, there were very important leaders who also became Christians. And so that shows you from the very beginning, the church has drawn from all facts, all sorts of life, all people to her, and all people to the gospel, because it really is a message for everyone, not just one person, not just one class of people. And that's an important thing that Paul helps us realize there. Okay? Next point, actually final point in the chapter. The grace of God is our beginning and our ending, right? It is both the beginning and ending of the epistle. St. Paul started this way back in chapter 1. I can't believe it's been 2 years already. Go think of all the way back to chapter 1. It seems so long ago. And also in our life, right? We want to begin and end every bit of our life with the grace of God. Listen to what Chrysostom says here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Do you see from what source we must begin and end our every action? Surely it was from this source that Paul laid the foundation for his epistle. And from this same source did he roof it over. For at the same time he invokes for them the mother of all blessings and recalls to their minds Christ's every kindness. This is especially the mark of a noble teacher, namely that he befits his disciples not only by his words, but also by his prayers. This is why the apostles said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. To begin and end our every action with the grace of God. So we've come now to the end of the letter of Romans. And here St. John Chrysostom does something different in his homily, different in a unique way from the rest of his homilies. Normally, he takes the various verses and he launches into some kind of a moral teaching. In a way, he does that here. But I've called this here, notice on the study guide, I don't have life application here. I have the words homage to St. Paul. And I did that because, again, we know that St. John Chrysostom had this great affection for St. Paul. Now, in the character of St. Paul's wrapping everything up by glorifying and honoring all these important people in the church, in much the same way, St. John Chrysostom honors and glorifies and brings attention to the life of St. Paul. So I want to end our series here. It's been two beautiful years. I just want to read to you a little bit of the full homily, especially where St. John Chrysostom really just shows his adoration for St. Paul. It's totally in the character of St. Paul, the way he ends the epistle, and I think it's a beautiful way for us to end our Bible study on the book of Romans. And then we will close with one final send-off from St. John Chrysostom. So bear with me. If you have the homily, I'm reading the translation from Father Panayoti. It'll be a little different if you're reading the free version that I sent in the study guide. Let's just listen to St. Paul for a few minutes. Who would now grant me to embrace Paul's body, to be nailed to his tomb, to see the dust of that body which filled up what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ, which bore the marks, which sowed the gospel message everywhere? I mean the dust of that body in which he ran all over the world, the dust of that body through which Christ spoke. The light gleamed brighter than any bolts of lightning, and a voice leaped forth more frightening to the demons than any thunder. I mean that body which uttered those blessed words, I could pray that I myself would be accursed for the sake of my brothers. I mean the body and tongue with which he spoke before kings and was not ashamed, the body and tongue through which we came to know Paul, as well as Paul's master. Thunder is not so frightening to us as that voice was to the demons. For if they had shuddered at his garments, how much more did they shudder at his voice? This led them off captives, this cleansed the world, this destroyed disease, this drove out evil, this lifted the truth on high, with Christ sitting upon that truth as on a cloud. His voice took his master everywhere. What the cherubim were, that was Paul's voice too. Just as Christ was enthroned on those powers, so was Christ enthroned on Paul's tongue. And his tongue was worthy of receiving Christ because it spoke only those things which were dear to Christ. Like the seraphim, it rose to a sublimity beyond description. For what is more lofty than the voice which said, "For I am sure that neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." How many wings do you think this voice has? How many eyes? This is why Paul said, "We are not unaware of his devices." This is why the demons fled not only when they heard Paul speak, but even when they saw his garments, even though he was at some distance away. I wished to see the dust of his body through which Christ spoke great and secret things, things greater than he spoke of in his own person. For just as Christ wrought greater things through his disciples, so too he spoke greater things through them. And it was through Paul that the Spirit gave those marvelous oracles to the world. For what great thing did that mouth of Paul fail to produce? It drove out demons, it destroyed sins, it muzzled the mouths of tyrants, it tied up the tongues of philosophers, it broke the whole world to God, it brought the whole world to God, it persuaded barbarians to adopt a Christian way of life, it reformed everything on earth, it even disposed things in heaven that the way it wished, binding those whom it wished and loosing in heaven according to the power given to him. Not only would I desire to see the dust of his mouth, but also the dust of his heart. Indeed, no one would be wrong in calling his heart the heart of the world, the fountain of countless blessings, the beginning of the prime element of our spiritual life. For the spirit of his life supplied everything from that source, and it was distributed to the members of Christ's body, not because it flowed through arteries, but because of his deliberate choice of good deeds. That heart was so large that it embraced whole cities and peoples and nations, for he said, "My heart is wide open." Yet even though his heart was so large, the love which opened it was so broad that it often oppressed and afflicted him. For Paul also said, "I wrote to you in much affliction and anguish of heart." And I desired to see that heart even after it had been reduced to dust, that heart which burned for each individual who perished, that heart which went into labor again with the children who had been made to miscarry, that heart which sees God, for Christ said that the clean of heart will see God, that heart which became a sacrifice, since a sacrifice to God is a contrite spirit. His heart is more lofty than the heavens, wider than the world, more shining than the sun, more burning than fire, stronger than steel. It sends forth streams, for the scripture says, "Rivers of living waters will flow forth from within him." For it came a leaping fountain, which watered not the face of the earth, but the souls of men. From it came forth not only the rivers, but fountains of tears flowed from it night and day. His heart lived a new life, but not the life with which we live. For he said, "No longer do I live, but Christ lives in me." So Paul's heart was Christ's heart. It was a writing tablet for the Holy Spirit, a book of grace. Still it trembled because of the sins of others. For he said, "I am afraid for fear that perhaps I have labored among you in vain. And I am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve, and I am afraid that when I come to you, perhaps I shall not find you as I should wish." So his heart both feared for itself and felt confidence in itself. For he said, "I am afraid that after I have preached to others, perhaps I myself might be rejected." But he also said, "For I am sure that neither angels nor principalities will be able to separate us." Paul was a heart which was deemed worthy of loving Christ as no other had loved Christ. His was a heart which scorned death and Gehenna, but still clashed with his brothers who were weeping for him when he said, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart?" His was a heart which was most patient and enduring, but which could not bear to be separated from the Thessalonians for an hour's time. I would wish to see the dust of the hands which wore shackles, the hands by whose imposition the Spirit came in abundance, the hands by which these epistles were written. For Paul said, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." And again, "It is I, Paul, who send you this greeting in my own hand." Yes, I would wish to see those hands on which the viper looked and then fell into the fire. I would wish to see the dust of those eyes gloriously blinded, which recovered their sight for the salvation of the world, which were judged worthy of seeing Christ in the flesh, which looked on the things of earth without seeing them, which saw the things which cannot be seen. Yes, I would wish to see those eyes which knew not sleep, which were wide awake in the middle of the night, which did not experience what those plagued with envy and jealousy do. I would wish to see the dust of those feet which ran through the world and grew not weary, those feet which were bound to the stocks which when the prison shook, those feet which made their way through lands where men dwelt in lands where no man lived, those feet which made so many journeys. But why must I speak of the body part and the limb by limb? I would wish to behold the tomb where the armor of the righteousness lies, the weapons of light, the limbs which now live, but which were slain while he was still alive. I mean the limbs in all of which Christ lived, which were crucified to the world, the limbs of Christ which had put on Christ, the limbs which were a temple of the Spirit, a holy dwelling place, the limbs which were bound to the spirit, which were nailed fast for the fear of God, which held the marks of Christ's wounds. Paul's body provides the city of Rome with a wall which makes it safer than any tower and 10,000 battlements can make it. And with Paul's body, it also is also the body of Peter, to whom Paul paid honor while Peter was yet alive. For Paul said, I went up to inquire of Peter, and on this account grace deemed it right, even after death, to make Peter and Paul fellow dwellers in the same city. I would wish to see Paul, the spiritual lion, like a lion breathing forth flames on the packs of foxes. So did Paul fall upon the clan of demons and philosophers. Like the assault of a thunderbolt, he crashed down on the host of the devil. But their ranks did not stand against him in a battle array. Satan's army was so frightened and trembled so hard that it fled far away as if it had seen a ghost and heard it roar. So too did Paul deliver over to Satan the fornicator, although Paul was nowhere near the sinner, and again he snatched him from the devil's hand. So too did he act with others, so they might learn not to blaspheme. And consider how Paul aroused and prepared those arrayed under his banner to go out and face their foe. At one time he says to the Ephesians, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then he sets the reward in heaven when he says that our contest is not about earthly things, but about heaven and heavenly things. And he said to others, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things of this world? I think that's a beautiful homage to St. Paul. You can see the love that St. John Chrysostom had for him. And you can see just how much he offers to us. St. Paul was the greatest evangelist of Christian history. Went all over the world, opening and starting churches and inspiring Christians. And he does so till to this day. So our send-off, my brothers and sisters, our final words of St. John Chrysostom, 33 hours in the making, are these. Be like St. Paul. Let us ponder on all this and take a noble stand. Paul was a human being. He shared with us the same nature. He had everything else in common with us. But since he manifested such abundant love for Christ, he went up above the heavens and stood with the angels. So then, if we shall be willing to rouse ourselves a little and kindle that fire in ourselves, we will be able to emulate that holy man. For if this were not possible, he would never have cried out aloud and said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Therefore, let us not marvel at him. Let us not only be struck with wonder at him, but let us also imitate him. Let us do this so that when we depart this life, we may be deemed worthy of seeing him and of sharing in his ineffable glory. May it come to pass that we will attain to this by the grace and loving kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be to the Father together in the Holy Spirit glory, power, and honor. Now and forever, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
I think it is a beautiful closure to our project. This has been an exciting, inspirational, challenging project for us here at Be Transfigured Ministries. And I want to thank you for your participation in your love and your dedication. If it was not for your willingness to participate both in the live chat and watching it and sharing it with your friends, it would just be me in the computer. And so I thank you. I'm filled with gratitude. It has been fun. It has been a challenge and has been inspiring. I offer you these final challenge from St. John Chrysostom to be like St. Paul. And in these times of incredible violence and hatred in our society, remember what St. Paul said to us many chapters ago. As much as it is up to us, be at peace with each other. God bless you. Until another project brings us together, Don't forget to live a new life in Christ.
Amen. On the mount, O Christ our God, revealing thy glory to thy disciples as far as they could bear it.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. You can make a safe online donation when you visit our website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org.